Good morning. What I'd like to do this morning is to go through that gospel reading that Candy just proclaimed. It is a powerful story. And what I'd like to do is revisit it and go through it and offer some thoughts and observations and then sum it up with a thought that I'd like to leave with you today. This gospel reading is from John, and we're in this Easter season. And so all of the stories we hear are about this new life that Jesus is offering us. So if you're at home and you have this reading in front of you, if you want to pick it up again, or I'll just share and read it to you. But this was Easter evening. Easter evening, you might call it. The first day of the week. And the doors of the house were locked. It's a significant thing. You know, the disciples hid themselves. They were fearful. It's Sunday evening. The resurrection, the women proclaimed in the morning, but by evening they are still locked away. And says, Jesus came and stood among them and said, put yourself in the place of Jesus. What would you have said? These disciples, these followers who had been surrounded Jesus throughout his ministry, they were gone pretty much after the Last Supper. They disappeared. They were not with Jesus. They deserted him in many ways. What would you say? Think of a time that you have felt deserted, left, betrayed. How would you respond to those who did that to you? I would have said to the disciples, where were you? Why did you leave me? Why did you desert me? Coming with a sense of hurt, I'd be pretty ticked off, actually. But what does Jesus say? These disciples gathered together in fear. Jesus says to them, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Can you imagine that? It's as if Jesus, in many ways, Jesus is forgiving them. I think it's one of the great messages of Easter that it is in many ways about an idea of forgiveness, of moving forward. Jesus is not going to dwell on the past. Jesus is not going to go back the last few days to what happened, but Jesus is going to lean forward into this new transformed life and call his followers to that, even though they did what they did, even though they betrayed him. And he said to them, he showed them his hands and his side. You know, that idea that Jesus shows the wounds, shows the nail prints in the hands, the pierced heart, his feet. It's a message to us. What I hear is, you know, we bring our woundedness into the transformed life. We bring our wounds forward with us to be transformed, to be changed into the life that is ahead of us. And so Jesus shows them that woundedness, reminds them of that woundedness that opens us to this life. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And this is a very powerful phrase for me. When he had said this, he breathed on them. He breathed on them. Do you remember that breathing symbol? Do you remember the book of Genesis? The creation of humanity. It mentions that the Creator, the creating God, breathes into this creation. And thus, this creature becomes a living being. The breath. And you've heard me share thoughts that we breathe God. That is God's life in us, in our very breath. And at this time of the resurrection, it's a powerful symbol to me that what Jesus does is to bring about this healing, to bring about this forgiveness, to bring about this transformation, to bring about this Easter life. Christ breathes. Christ gives this life to these disciples. And calls them to go forth, not to go back, to go forth. Let's move on. Let's move ahead into what is ahead of us. Receive the Holy Spirit, he says. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. You know, oftentimes I've heard that phrase as almost some kind of juridical kind of thing, as if I have the power. If I forgive you, you're forgiven. And if I don't want to forgive you, I can retain that, and you're not forgiven. I think what's really being communicated here is, as Jesus forgives his disciples, that forgiveness is alive and passed on. And we can't feel that forgiveness unless the forgiveness is given. And if we can't give that forgiveness, it's retained. We can't feel it. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, I forgive you. I forgive you. I love you. I care for you. I want to share this life with you. You go forth and do likewise, so that others may experience this forgiveness and this healing and recognize their woundedness and need for healing to enter into this new life. And then there's the story of Thomas. We all know the phrase uses doubting Thomas. Thomas, though, wasn't there that day. He wasn't with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Thomas sometimes gets a little bit of a bum rap about that. Doubting Thomas is not meant to be a positive praising kind of title for Thomas. But I wonder if in the depth of this, what John is trying to write in this gospel, the author of John's gospel, is that Thomas looks for the woundedness. This is the wounded Christ who has come to new life and brings us forth. And Jesus says, look at my wounds, touch my wounds. And friends, I think in many ways we're called to touch the wounds of our world, to touch them, to see them, to realize them. Because only there and only then can healing happen. Only then can this new life come forward. And Thomas perhaps is a reminder to us of that. He doubted. You know, doubt, when you think of faith, the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is fear. Because remember, my sense of faith is trusting someone, trusting in God. Fear is that inability to trust. Inability to trust. Thomas has a little bit of that doubting, but not a fearful doubting. He goes and he touches the wounds. We're called to do that too. And then he says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus says this wonderful phrase, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. I want to share a thought on that. This is such a powerful reading. And I want to draw an image, a picture for you as we gather today. This is the story we're most familiar with on Easter Day is the story of the empty tomb, the story of Jesus being raised from the dead. In the evening, we find this scene of Jesus with his disciples. And I think there's a power to that image that perhaps we don't always get. And I want to put two images before you as we gather, as you gather at home, and I gather with you in your home. And so, in the history of Christianity, there is what is referred to as a Western tradition and an Eastern tradition. Around the year 1000, Christianity had a difficult time in the family. There was this kind of split between East and West. Western Christianity, of which we are descendants, spread throughout Europe, spread throughout the world, spread throughout the world we live in now, the United States. Eastern Christianity was more from the East, Constantinople, into the Eastern lands. And it had a different, each had a different flavor, but both still woven together and yet perhaps having different interpretations of things. The Eastern Church is, we oftentimes refer to the Russian Orthodox, the Greek Orthodox, the Indian Orthodox. Usually that word Orthodox goes with the Eastern tradition. Western Christianity landed very powerfully in Rome, and we know the history of the last few hundred years. We're all kind of part of that Western tradition. So two pictures I'd like to put before you today. When we think of the resurrection, there is oftentimes this image, at least I remember as a child, an image, a painting. Again, these are not pictures of the resurrection, but paintings. One painting I remember as a child is of Jesus standing in front of the tomb with his hands extended in white robes and no one else really around. The sense of this is the resurrection. Some paintings will have the soldiers at the side, falling to the side. Some will have an angel or two nearby. But it's this, the main focus is Jesus being raised from the dead. And in many ways, that can shape our understanding of Easter Day. In some ways, it can be that we are here to celebrate this event of Christ being raised from the dead, captured in that picture. We may have images in our minds of what that looked like. But oftentimes, Western art depicts it that way. But I want to share with you a different image today that comes to us from our Eastern tradition, the Eastern Orthodox tradition. It has to do with some icons. After our service, after you've had a chance to celebrate with us at this service, I encourage you to go to your computer and Google resurrection icons. Resurrection icons. Icons are these spiritual writings. They seem like paintings or pictures, but an icon is really something that is written because it's meant to communicate something. It's not meant to be a depiction of something as much as a communication of something that we're trying to write about, to talk about, to tell about. In the Eastern tradition, on Easter Day, the icon that you will find most common, if I can paint this for you or write this for you, is oftentimes a picture of Jesus having been raised from the dead. And what's interesting is, rather than in Western art, Jesus rising, we find in the Eastern tradition, Jesus descending. And some even have his robes flying up from the air as he's descending. And where is he descending to? He's standing at the gates of Hades. Hades was understood in the early cultures where those who died went to. It wasn't necessarily hell, but it was the place of the dead. And oftentimes, the painting, the icon, the writing, has Jesus surrounded in light, standing on the gates of Hades, having destroyed the gates of Hades. Oftentimes, you'll see at the bottom of that icon a picture depicted of the gatekeeper of Hades. Some look on as Satan or the devil, but usually as a skeleton, tied up, defeated. And Jesus, having stood on the gates of Hades, hands outstretched, reaching down. And most paintings have him reaching out to Adam and Eve, calling them to come to this new life of Easter, this new life of resurrection. And oftentimes in these icons, you will see figures to the side. You will find David, Solomon, Moses, the figures of the Hebrew scriptures. You'll find John the Baptist. You'll find other followers who have been in Hades, and Jesus, the risen Christ, descends into Hades and calls forth people to this life, calls them to the wonder of resurrection. That icon to me is a powerful calling to us, that Easter is not just the day that we remember and celebrate Christ being raised from the dead, which it is, but that image that it is all of us having been raised from dead, all of us being raised from Hades, all of us being called forth into this new life. And Jesus is that figure for us. Jesus is the one who calls us to that new life. Jesus is the one in our gospel reading today who reveals the woundedness. Our woundedness leads us to this new life. And we bring it with us to transform our lives, transform this world as we go forth. So let us continue in this celebration of Easter, this celebration of a call to all of us to live this new life. And may we reach out to those around us to bring about that healing and new life. and find ways, even in the midst of this pandemic, and we know in the future, ways to go forth into this world, to reach out, to touch each other at some point, and call each other to rise up to this new life together.